Let's pay careful attention now to God's word to us this evening. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And then our text this evening. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So far, God's word. Let's bring this word before his throne right now. Please pray with me. Gracious God and glorious Heavenly Father, Lord, what a wonderful comfort we have in these words this evening, that you know everything we need, that you promise to provide for us. But yet, as Jesus has told us and reminded us this afternoon, we struggle to trust. We struggle with that concept. So may we be encouraged to place our trust in you and continue to place our trust in you this evening. But may we also be challenged where we fail to put that trust in you. Work in our hearts. Encourage us. Strengthen us, we pray. Work your Holy Spirit in our lives this evening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what do you think is the number one God, small g, of this age? What do you think? What are the kind of things or thing that people in this world today serve the most? Phones? Yes, phones, that's right.
Materialism?
Sport? Yes. Self? Yeah. A good list there. I think both Eric and Peter were onto it. Materialism. We're all onto the other things, absolutely. But materialism, I think, is the main thing. The challenge, the call, the desire, the drive for more possessions. It's never enough. Always looking for something else. And when people don't get what they want, people get anxious. When we don't get what we want, we too can get anxious. We tend to worry. Now, that's not the only thing that we get anxious about, absolutely. But materialism, thinking about stuff, owning stuff, is certainly one of the big ones. And part of the problem we have, that we all have, is that we tend to get a little bit confused about our needs and our wants. And how often is it that our wants, we think, are really our needs, and we get that wrong? And when we don't get what we want, when we make our wants our needs, That's a big reason about why we can be anxious. And as I looked up mental health statistics, anxiety amongst other mental health problems are certainly on the increase. It's certainly on the rise. It's a problem for our society. It's an increasing problem for our society. And it can be a problem for us as well. But at the heart of this question, and the question that Jesus is asking us this evening, are actually a number of questions. When we worry, we ask questions like, does God care? Is God enough? Does God understand what I'm going through? Can I place my trust, all my trust in Him? Am I willing to let Him steer rather than myself? As we began looking and working our way through the Heidelberg Catechism, the first question asked that question about what is your comfort? And that's the question that the Heidelberg Catechism is seeking to answer throughout all of its Lord's days. What is your only comfort in life and in death? And we come, as we think about comfort, to our Heavenly Father this evening. And the theme, the main takeaway point that I want you to take away this evening is this. That because our Father cares for us, we should serve Him. Because our Father cares for us, we should serve Him. And at heart of that is a question. Do you trust God? Do you truly trust Him to provide whatever you need, as our catechism puts it, for your body and for your soul? 2 points this evening. The first is examples of God's care. Examples of God's care. Now, we know this passage well. It's a beautiful passage, and there's a number of very vivid examples. Normally, when I'm looking to preach a sermon, I'm sometimes having to rack my brains for examples as to bring a point across. Well, Jesus does this here for us with the various powerful examples in our passage. But first of all, where are we in Matthew chapter 6? What's happening? Can any of the boys and girls tell me, what is this part of? What is Jesus doing here in Matthew 6 and the chapters around it? This is a certain well-known part of Scripture. What's Jesus doing here? He's doing, in a much better way than I can, exactly the same thing that I'm doing here now. What is Jesus doing? He's giving a sermon. Yeah, where is He giving the sermon? Where's He giving the sermon?
On a mountain.
The Sermon on the Mount. That's right. And this small passage is part of this wider, great, big sermon that Jesus has been giving. The Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, and so on. Speaking about the law, how Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but fulfill it. Working through various ways that we fail in the law. Teaching us how to pray. And then as we began reading this evening, speaking about what we love, where we place our hope, where we place our treasure. And it's in the background of that, where our heart is, or where your treasure is, verse 21 of chapter 6, there your heart will be also. And also the idea that in verse 24, that no one can serve two masters, you cannot serve God and money, that Jesus begins this section here. The question is, where is your heart? What are you serving? Do you trust God to provide everything for you? Can you serve Him without worries? And the examples that He gives is meant to point us, to challenge us to say, trust God, not stuff, not material things. And to help give us the perspective and the right perspective of our Heavenly Father, He works through a number of examples. He speaks about food, drink, and clothing. He begins with food. And boys and girls, a question for you. Has anyone ever seen a fridge for birds? Seen a fridge for birds? No? A freezer for birds? Put your hand down at the back, Mr. Verkirk. A pantry for birds. Has anyone seen birds that own their own veggie garden? They don't, do they? What do birds do? They go and help themselves to other people's veggie gardens. We had a grapevine, or we have some grapevines at home. And were it not for our beloved pet cat, Buttercup, that grapevine would exist solely to feed the birds. And Jesus asks a question. He reminds us that God feeds those birds. And if God cares about what happens to a little bird's tummy, boys and girls, do you think that he cares about you? He does, doesn't he? He does care about you. In fact, he says there, if God cares for the birds, what about you? Are you not of more value than they? Verse 26. And before Jesus goes on to close, he asks a little question in verse 27. Now, who'd like to be a little bit taller? Yeah, no one's putting their hand. I'd like to be a little bit taller. I mean, I'm grateful for what God has given me. I'd like to be a bit taller. So those who would like to be taller, I want you to just bear with us, the rest of you. I want to do a little experiment. We're going to close our eyes, and I want you to worry for 5 seconds about being taller. I'll count us down. So close your eyes. Worry about being tall. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, open your eyes. Did it work? Am I any taller? Yes. No, I'm not any taller, am I? And that's the literal meaning of this passage. Which of you, by worrying, can make yourself grow any taller? And it's a ridiculous example in a way, isn't it? You can't worry yourself tall. And of course, yes, that applies, and Jesus is applying that to the length of our life. We can't do that experiment tonight and see if we live an hour longer by worrying. But you get the point, don't you? And in fact, modern medicine tells us the more we worry, the less long we live. So what the point that Jesus is making here is, why worry? Worry doesn't help you. And then he moves on to clothes. And he has this beautiful picture here of the lilies. How the lilies, where are we? Verse 28. Consider the lilies of the field. Now, I'm not a big fan of lilies. For me, it's roses. If you've ever pulled apart a rose, all the petals on there, and how it's so magnificently, wonderfully put together, God made that. God put that all together. And in fact, whenever you look at a rose, or a lily, if you like, lily, whatever flower you like, God is saying to us, I made that. I put that together. Jesus paints the picture of Solomon in all his robes. Just imagine Solomon with all his riches, dressed in the most impressive clothes of the land. And he says, a flower beats that. A flower is more impressive than that. And I put it together. If I dress the flowers, if I dress the grass in the field, if I clothe the grass of the field, verse 30, Jesus asks the question, if God does that for you, how much more do you think he'll look after your needs? Will provide you with the clothes that you need? Jesus here is gently rebuking the people listening to him. He's gently rebuking us this evening. If God so clothes the grass of the field, today is alive, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Why are you worrying? Why is your faith so small, Jesus asks? But yet we do worry, don't we? We worry about our bank account, our social media account, Facebook, Instagram. We worry about our relationships. We stress about it all. But at heart of this, Jesus is asking us a question, a hard question. Where are your priorities? What's important to you? What are you serving? Are you serving God? Or are you serving your bank account? When you serve your bank account, when you worry about your wardrobe, your self-worth, Jesus says, you look like the world, because that's what the world worries about. And in fact, that's all what the world can worry about. From time to time, lotto winners are surveyed. And they survey big lotto winners, and they survey their happiness, how happy they were before they won lotto, and how happy they were after they won lotto. What do you think? Are people happier after winning great amounts of money, or are they not so happy? What do you think? Happier? Put your hand up. Not so happy? Put your hand up. More of that. Didn't put your hand up? Some people didn't put their hands up. There we go. And you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Money, lots of money, didn't make people more happy. And in fact, it made people a lot less happy, more stress in their life. And instead of this, instead of worrying about these things, worrying about our lives, Jesus paints a beautiful picture for us. It's there at the end of verse 32. The Gentiles seek after those things. They worry about eating, drinking, wearing, the material things. They worry about stuff. But what does Jesus say? Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. God knows. He knows. He knows exactly what you need. In our house, we have birthday lists. I'm sure you have some in your house as well. You write our children will write on a piece of paper what they'd like for their birthday. Wonderful lists, helpful lists. But God, our Father, doesn't need those lists. He doesn't need any lists because he knows exactly what we need. And he's got it. He provides everything we need. He knows our greatest need. He knows our need for a Savior, and he's provided that for us. But note this. He knows what we need. He provides us what we need. He doesn't necessarily promise us what we want. Now, a child will tell you a certain toy is just what they need. The reality is, it's what they'd like. It's what they'd want. And God doesn't promise that he's going to give us our wants. Yet turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Keep your hand there in Matthew. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. This is one of our favourite passages at home. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3 verses 20 to 21. Page 977 in the church Bibles, if that's helpful. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says this, and listen to these words carefully. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Our heavenly Father is able to and does far more abundantly than even what we can ask or begin to imagine. That's the Father that we have, brothers and sisters. That's the Father who promises us, as James says in James chapter 1, to give us all good things. So the question we need to address when we struggle with anxiety, when we struggle with worry, is, are we trusting? Do we believe that God knows what we need, that he gives us what we need? Did God make the right choice in giving us our husband and wife? Did God make the right choice in not giving us a husband or wife? Did God give us the right children? Does God know what's in my bank account or what's not in my bank account? Does he know my trust? Does he know my lack of trust? Does he know my worries? Does he know my fears? Does he know my failures? And the answer is yes, he knows all of that. And he promises that he will give you what you need. K. Can we say, as we said this afternoon with the Heidelberg Catechism, I trust my Father so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul? We know that's what we're supposed to do. But as I laid awake various times through this week, the irony didn't escape me as I was preparing this message. I failed to do exactly this. As I lay awake worrying about various things, I needed to remind myself, I needed to recall that God's got it. My Father knows. He knows what I need. He promises to provide for me whatever I need. And he also provides us here in our passage with another way to respond to anxiety in our lives. And that's our second and final point this evening. Another way to respond to anxiety other than the examples that we've just gone through. And that's our second point this evening. God's care should lead us to service. We spoke this morning, didn't we, about the things we are to put off and the things we are to put on. Here, think about this as putting off anxiety, putting on, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first God's kingdom. As I was reflecting on my supposed problems through the night, I realized that my priorities were wrong. And the things that I was worrying about mostly were my priorities, my worries, not God's. Instead, what we need to do, what Jesus calls us to do here, is to seek him first, seek his kingdom first. Romans 12, we read this morning, but I'm going to read that again for us this afternoon. Passage we should have ingrained and burned into our minds. Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That's what we're called to do. That's another way of saying what Jesus calls us to do. And here in verse 33, seek first his kingdom. Say to God, come to God, bring to God everything. Say to him, my bank account is yours. My service, everything I have, everything I do is yours, Father. You are my number one priority. But we struggle with this concept, don't we? I was picking Michaela up for work on Friday afternoon and at the childcare centre where she works, and I noticed this little interchange between two boys. They both wanted to pump up a basketball. And they were sitting there with a pump and they were wrestling each other. They didn't want to share. And how many times have we seen that as a parent? But as I was looking at that and thinking about that, I thought, that's just us, isn't it? That's us with God. We struggle with the concept of sharing with God, let alone everything. We're happy to give him something. And sometime, but giving God everything, that's the struggle, isn't it? God's kingdom. God's kingdom first. That should be our priority. Seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus says, and his righteousness. First of all, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Being right with God, the most important thing that we need. The need that our Father meets and provides for us. Only through Christ's righteousness can we have truly no worries. And only because of Christ's righteousness will we come to a time, to a point in our lives, in eternal life, when we will never have to worry about anything again. But seeking Christ's righteousness, seeking to serve him, putting his kingdom first. So how about you? How about you this afternoon? What is God's care? What does our Father's care for you mean for you this week? Are you freeloading on your Father's care? No one likes visitors that come and stay for 3 weeks Not you guys, I'm not singling you out the back there. I hope not anyway. Stay for 3 weeks and just eat everything, take everything, and make themselves a general nuisance. No, I mean, look, I'm sorry, Pete. If that applies to you guys, then take the rebuke in love, but I don't think so, all right? But no one likes that, do they? That's a horrible thing to do to someone. But we can do that to God. We can rest on his care, enjoy the wonderful benefits that he gives us, and do nothing. Are you serving him in his kingdom? Are you seeking to serve? Are you looking for opportunities to serve him in his church? To serve the gospel in the community where you live? Is that your priority? That's the challenge of this passage this evening to you, to me. How are you serving him? What could you be doing to serve him? When calls come for help in the congregation and in the community, do you think, well, I'm not going to be able to do that? Do you think, I'll let someone else do that? Because someone else will. Or do you think, maybe I can do that? Maybe I can serve in this way? Brothers and sisters, where are your priorities? Where are my priorities? Where do you spend your time? Where do you spend your thoughts? Where do you spend your money? Where do you spend your energy? Is it seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Or is it seeking your kingdom and yourself? God's care, the fact that we have a perfect heavenly Father, should lead us to respond in service to him, to come to our Father and say, yes, Father, what do you want me to do for you? Because of what he's done, because of his grace, because of his mercy, because of his greatest gift in Jesus Christ. In verse 34, Jesus summarizes, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus knows. Jesus knows that anxiety is a problem for us. And he says, just take it one day at a time. And remember, yes, we go through troubles. We go through strife. Each day has its trouble. Jesus is acknowledging that. But he's also reminded us, and he's also reminding us here, God knows what you need. God knows exactly how much grace you need from him to get through each day, one day at a time. And he gives you that grace. He promises to walk through every single day with you. That's because he is your Father. So how about it? Are you going to serve, or how can you serve your Heavenly Father this week? I heard a story earlier this week as I was listening to an audiobook. And a man came home from a Sunday afternoon service. His wife had been sick, so he didn't make the afternoon service. And he came home early. And she said to him, is the sermon done already? And the farmer came home and said, well, no. The sermon's been said. The sermon's not done yet. The idea there is that the sermon's been said, the farmer heard the words, but it hadn't yet been done. He hadn't gone out in this week and put it into practice. So the sermon's been said, friends, brothers and sisters. Now the challenge for us is to go out and make that sermon done. Deliberately poor English. Go out and do. Reflect on your Father's heavenly care and then ask yourself, how can I serve him? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we begin as we finish this message this afternoon by reflecting on your goodness to us. The fact that you are the greatest the most perfect Father for us, that you give us every single thing we need. And when you deny us something, when you remove something from us, you know that that's because we don't need it or we need to do without it. Lord, help us to rest and trust in your prayer, in your care. Forgive us for being anxious about things that we shouldn't be anxious. And Heavenly Father, as we consider our anxiety about things, we also acknowledge, and I want to acknowledge this evening, that worrying about things, worrying about material possessions, is not the only cause of anxiety. And for those of us, Lord, who are struggling with anxiety for various other things or various other reasons, Lord, we pray for your help and grace and mercy in that too. Help us to turn to you. Help us to look to you. Help us to realize that no matter what we go through, no matter what we suffer, you know what we need. And you say to us that you have got it. You are in control. Lord, we praise your name, that you do provide us with everything, every single thing that we need for body and soul. Help us to respond in turn. Help us to seek your kingdom first. Help us to live in a response of your wonderful grace to us in Jesus Christ, to come before you and say, what can I do for you? Help us to consider that question this week. How can I be serving you in your kingdom? Help us to consider that question when we can ask the question for someone for help needed in the church or in the community. Lord, we know that you give us the grace we need. We thank you for that. May we live lives that reflect that. Forgive us for the times that we say, no, it's mine. I don't want to share it. I want to hold on to it. Help us to realize and give everything to you because of your mercy, because of your grace. And we praise your name that as we serve you, as we place you as our number one priority in life, then we have your promise here in this passage that we need not worry about anything. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you are our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's respond to God's wonderful care for us with the words of a famous hymn, number 191, How Great Thou Art. And we're going to sing the first three verses. We'll hear the blessing of God to his people, and then we'll sing the last verse. So let's stand and sing from number 191.